baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Jitter Pop. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cullen.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight. Cream corn tonight. That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Not too bad. Hot and humid in Omaha. You know, par for the course. How about you?
Par for the course. Yeah, yeah. Same. A little hot.
Yeah.
Getting toasty. Toasty out here.
Getting ready for some summer traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. What is your July 4th policy? Do you usually stay in town or does it depend?
I usually am flying on July 4th and I will be again this year. So actually I'll be flying from LA back to Omaha for July 4th.
Oh.
And then here for a few days and then headed off to Madonna's world tour.
It's happening.
It better be. I'm going no matter what. Yeah, I think it's happening.
Where's the opening opening date?
Knock on wood, Vancouver, British Columbia. So,
Madonna.
Yeah, got a front row ticket, immaculate VIP ticket. So I overpaid, but you get a tour of the backstage before the show and stuff like that. So
that's pretty cool.
A big no camera.
Did she? You've mentioned before she's notorious for being late for concerts.
Oh, yes.
Is it almost like a guarantee?
I can guarantee. I'm usually shocked if she goes on 2 hours late. That's
really
early for Madonna. Yeah.
Oh no.
From posted showtime. Yeah.
Like what's the posted showtime? Like 9:30?
It'd be like if it said 8 o'clock, I can guarantee 10:30 would be the earliest she would go on lot of times. So no matter what.
But you usually don't care though when she starts. You forget about
it.
Well,
the older I get.
Oh, right.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. So it's just now, you know, like used to, you know, during when the MDNA tour, I was in the pit. So you'd be literally standing. We'd try to get there early, you know, as early as like 3 o'clock in the afternoon so we could get our right spot in the pit. So we'd be sitting or standing on that cement floor for hours and hours and eating horrible circus food and you would find your energy later, you know, but once she came out, you know, there's nothing like it, but
right. Yeah. Well, you're living in a material world, so
you have
to save your pennies. What is circus food?
You know, pretzels and candy bars.
Peanuts.
So whatever.
Anything you can get out of a vending machine in the lobby of like a Holiday Inn is like circus.
Whatever food. Arena food there is. When she had the pit, you couldn't bring food or drink into the pit, so you'd be like scarfing down.
Oh yeah.
And then also you didn't want to drink too much because you didn't want to go to the bathroom during the show. I mean, there's so many things.
I always think it's funny when you see the circus food at, you know, arenas and airports, and it's usually the typical fare. You have your pretzels, you have your peanuts, and then like pizza slice, okay, you get it in the cardboard, but then there's like the miniature whole pizza. And I've always wondered, like, logistically, how does that work? I mean ideally it's for like 2 people, but do you hold it? Are you carrying like the pan and like eating it? I always thought it was like such an awkward thing to order.
Yeah,
you know, because then you're like walking around with it.
Yeah, what are you supposed to be doing? So I'll be in Vancouver about a week, and then I'll do a show there, and then I'll actually going to drive from there down to Seattle for 2 shows as well.
And Seattle, she's playing in the whatever arena that is.
The Climate Pledge Arena or whatever it's called. So I've actually only flown through Seattle. So
this is an arena tour. It's not like stadium tour or more
this
the intimate
arena
setting.
This will be arena. So last tour was a theater tour. So it was kind of in LA, she was at the Will Term.
Yeah.
So that's pretty small theater. So back to arenas, and I think she's doing some stadiums in other countries, but so this is kind of moving back towards arena.
When she's in Los Angeles, is she at the crypto.com arena?
For this leg of it, and then she'll be back in January at the Forum.
The Forum, right. Yeah. You did mention that.
I'll be back for a couple shows there if she lasts that long.
What's the name of the tour?
The Celebration Tour. So she's never done a Greatest Hits tour. So it's very unusual. Usually she does a lot of the current album, but this,
like, a support of the album kind of thing.
So supposedly this one is the Greatest Hits. So,
well, she you said before she'll never play Material Girl again. Is that going to change?
She will. Yeah. So she says that, but she's played it on the Reinvention Tour, and then she played it again on Rebel Heart Tour. So she said at one point she wouldn't, but she does. She knows it's a hit. It's a hit.
It's a hit.
It's a hit.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing pictures of the tour from you there in the front row singing along.
Yeah, we'll see. I haven't seen anything that this is not a no camera phone tour, but we'll see.
You can get the glasses that you're like, no, just, I need these to see.
Yeah. So she's done. So the theater tour was a no phone tour. And it was a little easier because obviously it's a smaller venue. But I don't know. We'll see. So I've been on a couple arenas where comedians like John Mulaney or Amy Schumer, you know, run out an arena, and it is a no phone tour, and it's a mess getting out for, you know, what, 17,000 people or whatever to unlock your phone. But we'll see.
Yeah, logistically, probably can do it. Probably not worth it, too. You can only do the Batman Dark Knight thing, where you're like, I already have my phone, thank you.
Yeah.
Where you bring two, and then you give the one, and you're like, I got it. That's a good hack if they don't have monitors. I already got it.
Wow.
Yes, I will take my 2004 iPhone 1 back, sir.
That was one of the flimsiest.
One of the flimsiest phones? I know.
Workarounds, but anyway.
Anyway, you're listening to Podcast Setjetter Saturdays with Robert Patterson. Check out his website at setjetter.com, as well as Instagram at set_jetter. And it's been a while since we did a show, so I'm really excited to get into it. And let's kick it off with what you've been watching. So I want to start with you, Robert, because you have some pretty cool things in here.
So since it's been a while, so it seems like it looks like all I do is watch TV, which is not true. So I finished up Fatal Attraction, the TV series.
Oh, yeah. How is it? You finished it.
Yeah, and it ended on such a, I was like, what? I literally had to look it up to see actually what happened, because I didn't think they were very clear on the little spin that they put on it.
Yeah.
Because I had trouble, you know, because like it takes place in kind of two different time periods, and they go back and forth, and I just, so a big no to me. I thought it was a big waste of time.
Big thumbs down.
Sorry. The Boogeyman, which we saw in the theater, it was so-so. You know, it had some good moments, but nothing that was more like a more elongated episode that probably didn't need to be a full movie or didn't have quite enough content in it for me. So, but
like it was almost there, but not really.
Yeah. And it's going to fare even worse if you watch it on the small screen, you know, because when you watch it on the big screen, you're invested and you're kind of watching and on, you know, small screen, you're just naturally.
Stuff's small not screen, going you're on. Looking for an excuse when it's not good enough. You're like, I do need to change the kitty litter now.
Yeah,
like, we'll do that.
What are we doing? So, Rise of the Pink Ladies, which just had their season finale and I think series finale, because it is not coming back. I think I just read. So, it was probably too late, way too late, you know, to capture kind of on the post Glee movement. And it felt so forced where. When they would go into songs, obviously the movie does that and other TV shows have done that. I just didn't work. I was like, oh, I would have been more interested if they had zero songs and they just kind of presented a grittier version of Grease during those times, you know, kind of, you know.
That's kind of what they should have done. They could have, because they've done the Grease thing to death and it's immortalized. Yeah. Why not like explore that universe without doing the musicals?
Yeah. So, and maybe they felt like they needed it. I'm not sure, but. But yeah, so it's like, you know, and I'm a Grease fan. So they had a little teaser for the finale where, I think I can spoil it now, cause I don't think they're going to make a follow-up. I think that, it said no second season, but they alluded that Danny Zuko was coming, could be in season two.
They'd have to. I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Is it
cause
Danny
they turn
Zuko?
Around like, Zuko, what are you doing here? And you just you don't see the actual person, but it was like
you see like the so there's like the end of the Batman where you know it's the Joker.
Yeah,
so they don't show him.
Yeah, but anyway, so I was like, oh, maybe that would have been interesting. I don't know, but
yeah.
I revisited the entire series of Hannibal again because my mentee and I were out for his birth, and we were talking about TV series, and for some reason, so I kind of binge watched that at night to kind of catch up on that. So that still holds up for me for the most part.
Good to hear.
It goes a little off kilter, season three, into kind of a fever dream era, but definitely worth it. Gillian Anderson is one of my favorites in that.
Yeah, she's a great actress. We've talked about her a lot. She's cool. She's good.
I rewatched this because it was an anniversary. So Psycho 2 had its 40th anniversary. So I kind of did a rewatch of that.
Psycho 2?
Well, probably one of the best sequels, I think. Good follow-ups.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
Poltergeist, because it was 41st anniversary, you know, and I had the 4K. I had not watched it yet, so I just wanted to see what...
I wanted to see what was different.
Yeah, and to see, you know, and watch it on the new OLED or whatever to see if I put into hypnosis with the strobe
effect. Yeah, how would that work? I figured that would be kind of epileptic.
It is. It made me wonder what it was like in the theater. I didn't see it in the theater. But it, you could definitely, like, if you're sensitive to that, that would cause some issues for sure.
Yeah, because there's quite a bit of strobe in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
you're walking into things as you're leaving.
Yeah,
your depth perception's off. You're like you're drinking like tomato juice, thinking it's milk.
It's like maybe that's part of the thing in the theaters. People were hypnotized into
into buying more popcorn. Yeah.
Rosemary's Baby had its 55th anniversary.
Ooh,
crazy! So
wow, that is crazy.
I finally ripped the wrapper off Criterion Collection Blu-ray that I've had that I have not watched. So,
cool.
It's always a good revisit. and I didn't put it on here, but I did follow it up with "Look What Happened to Rosemary's Baby." If you're not familiar with that, there was a sequel.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before. Is it really that bad?
It is. Everyone, I was like, well, let me take a look at it again. And I was just like, well, how bad can it? And it is bad. So,
there's no redeeming qualities in. What's the sequel called, though?
Look What Happened to Rosemary's Baby. Look What's Happened to Rosemary's
Baby. Look What's Happened. It almost sounds like that's a early 90s comedy.
They should have made it into a TV series. I didn't think
Gene Siskel says, "Look What's Happened to Rosemary's Baby" is terrific. That's such a bad title.
It is, and they have a decent cast. You know, Patty Duke plays Rosemary in this one, only in the first act. So it's split into three acts: Book of Rosemary, Book of something, and I can't remember. So Tina Louise from Gilligan's Island is on it. Donna Mills is on it. I think one of her first. Shows or the company did so, but yeah, it's not even kitschy enough to like, but and Ruth Gordon comes back as Minnie Castabet, so
it has just some, sit right back and you watch a movie that's full of crap. I kind of want to watch it now to see how bad.
Give it a watch, and then at some point you're like, come on, you know, like I can see what they're doing, and then eventually it goes awry pretty quickly, but yeah, check it out.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cast, and I mean, for the mid-70s, I can see the draw, some of the star power, but
you see why
they're hiding in a synagogue, and I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but we'll see what happens.
You wouldn't know it's a synagogue necessarily.
Oh gosh,
they're on the Paramount back lot, and I think they literally run into, I'm pretty sure, I should double check this, you know, in The Naked Gun, where, you know, they go to the
yeah, they run into another bar. Production.
Yeah. Yeah, so it looks like they're in the Naked Gun bars where they're at, I think.
Gosh.
And finally, for my sister's birthday, which was earlier in June, she actually chose Jack and Jill.
Yes.
Which she has never seen. I've been asking her to see it, so she was nice enough to watch Jack and Jill.
And you guys had a lovely time.
And then for like several days later, I was acting like Jill. And I threatened to go. We had our family reunion, I think, the next weekend or something like that. So I threatened to go as Roberta. from Brooklyn.
You threatened. You peppered the seeds of like, this is happening.
Yeah. It's like, you guys don't recognize me because I used to live in Brooklyn. And Robert was brought up in Omaha.
Did you do it?
No.
Did you tease it a little bit before?
I did tease it around the house that
Okay. As you do.
So still, I mean, she was astounded.
She was astounded. But that's so cool you guys get to watch it. And you watched it on, do you have it on 4K?
It's not on 4K, it's on Blu-ray.
Cool.
So at least it's on Blu-ray. I can't wait till it comes on 4K.
But it's good stuff.
Yes.
You got to get it. You got to keep upgrading.
Yeah. We actually watched all the deleted scenes too. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah. If you're going to do it, pull it out, do the whole thing.
I cannot recommend that movie enough.
Yeah. You love it. It's like one of your greats.
Oh, goodness.
Which is cool.
What have you been watching?
Okay. So I've been watching all remakes of Rosemary's Baby, actually.
Apparently.
On YouTube. No. Okay. So I did watch Air. I don't know if you've seen Air.
Half of it. I've been watching it while I've been on doing the elliptical at the gym, and I'm only about halfway through.
Okay. Air, I liked...
Don't give it away. I don't know if he's going to become a successful basketball
player. What's going to happen to Michael Jordan? Will he be a big shot?
Will the shoes work out? I don't know.
I don't know. For what it is, I really enjoyed the movie. It's kind of like the Moneyball for basketball, and it was cool. Matt Damon does a good job. Ben Affleck is funny. I love him that. They made it cool by not actually showing an actor play Michael Jordan. They made it about the universe. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed Air. What I did think was a little ridiculous was at the end, they're like, you know how they do the cutaways after at the end of every like biopic that says what happened to everybody? They're like, and then he did make the shoe. And then you're like, okay, that's cool. And then they're like, and then the shoe became the biggest selling shoe of all time. You're like, all right, that's pretty cool. And then they're like, and then it grossed $300 million for that. And they did it like 20 times. And unless it's like something universally beloved, mm-hmm. like the end of AIDS or lives are being saved, nobody really cares how much money Nike made unless you work for Nike. So I felt like it was a little on the nose. And then they kind of realized, I think, in editing that they were doing that. And one of the final cutaways was... And they've donated over $200 million to charity. And like that was the end. Because they were saying, like, you know, Michael Jordan made $600 million alone from this shoe, or $400 million. Nike outsold this. And you're like, the numbers are great, I guess, if you own stocks. But I don't really care. I thought that was, like, kind of too on the nose. But, you know, for something I really don't care about, I don't care about Air Jordans, I thought it kept my interest. So I liked it for that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've been watching it in bits and pieces, so
yeah,
I'll see how it ends.
See how it ends. I will say this though, there is a scene with Chris Tucker and Matt Damon and things at the end, and there's an earlier scene where they Matt Damon and another actor, I forget the actor's name, they talk about Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. and they kind of incorporate something like that towards the end, and I didn't see that one coming. And I thought I probably would have picked up on that, but I didn't until it happened. And I think they did a really good job. So I'll just leave that be.
All right.
But you tell me what you think. I did rewatch Madonna's greatest role in Dick Tracy.
Yeah, I feel like you watch that every 3 months. What's going on?
Yeah, it's like the stand of early 90s movies for me. You know, Dick Tracy, I'm kind of changing my opinion on it. I think it's a lot better than it's given credit. The cast and Al Pacino. That movie's never brought up, and it should be. They never give that movie love.
Now I need to do a mix-up of Al Pacino and Dick Tracy and Jack and Jill.
Oh!
How we get him for the Dunkin' Donuts campaign? Oh.
Okay, the Dunkin' Donuts.
So I think I've seen it once or twice, so maybe I need to add it to my rotation.
Yeah. Or you'll hate me for it. You'll be like, why did I do this?
Well, come on. I just watched Look What Has Happened to Rosemary's Baby. So
we're in good company. So it's okay. Yeah.
Dick Tracy is more realistic.
Tracy is very realistic. The sets are beautiful. The sets are beautiful. I rewatched The Dirt last night. I've only seen that, I think, once when it first came out. And I couldn't really find anything to watch that I wanted to, like, invest in late at night.
Yeah.
So I was like, The Dirt. I can, like, fall asleep to this. So I watched that again. It is still fun. It's about Motley Crue.
I have not seen it.
It's fun. It's cool. It makes you like Wikipedia stuff, and you're like, oh, did this really happen? And then you're like, oh, it did really happen. Like,
it was even worse. Yeah.
It was worse. They actually really are the quintessential sex, drugs, and rock and roll band. It's amazing they're still alive, all of them. Like, just the drugs.
Their bodies are still functioning.
Yeah. I mean, like, Nikki Sixx died, like, twice, like, legally. Yeah. And it's just wild that they're still alive. But, so that was fun. And then I started watching Black Mirror, but I don't have enough episodes in to really give a recap, but I like what I've seen so far.
So, yeah, I watched all of them. I think I binged them when they came out, and it's kind of those, it's fine, you know. I think Black Mirror is also, it's in a difficult situation now where they had a high bar, and they're like, bring it on, you know, like, show us, you know, you're watching it for the twist and whatever, and so when they don't kind of hit that, it's still probably better than, you know, 80% of other television shows, but because it never... It might not surpass, you know, some of the earlier episodes. You're like, yeah, it was fine, you know.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, so.
Like, yeah, I'm with you on that. That's a good assessment.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch the whole thing through, or are you, like, into it now?
What's that?
Black Mirror. Is that
I watched all... There's only 5 episodes this season, so.
Oh, you've seen them all. Okay.
Yeah. And some are pretty long, so, yeah. Some are good. Yeah. I mean, some are... Yeah.
It's fun. Older seasons, we'll see what happens. But I'm glad you watched it. You gave it the go. Okay, so that's what you've been watching. And next we're going to do, we'll be talking about the Razzies. We're going to be revisiting the Razzies this year with the 8th Golden Raspberry Awards. This was held on April 10th, 1988. And these are 1987 films. And looking at the list, there's a few on here which kind of are no-brainers. And there's a few others that, quite frankly, I've never even heard of. But what do we start off with first, Robert? I don't remember what...
We usually go from the bottom up. Okay. So worst visual effects with... They don't do this every year, but all 3 of these are semi-favorites. So 2 nominees and 1 winner. So one of the nominees was Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yes.
Yes.
It's something wonderful. Yeah.
Surprised it did not win.
Okay, let me ask you a quick question. Yes. Sorry to interrupt you. You're a Superman 4, Quest for Peace guy. You turned me on to the movie.
Yeah.
In 1987, did you know this was a bad movie?
Bad enough I did not go see it in the theater. You could smell it, how bad it was. And I think I eventually watched it on video. And even then, 87, you look at the facts and it was certainly not up to the caliber of Superman 1, 2, or 3.
Good call. Because that was my question. I didn't know. I was 6 at the time. I didn't see it in the theater. But the franchise is so big and the movies are so beloved. My question is, did Superman 4, did people know, like, was there buzz that it was a bad movie? Or was it like a Jurassic, was it like The Lost World where you're like, what the hell was that?
They knew well beforehand, and it was now a canon film. History now knows, you know, they cut the budget in half at least, because a lot of money was given to Masters of the Universe.
Right. Okay.
And Superman 4 suffered, and even with a bigger budget, it would have been probably a little bit better. It was a mess. So
yeah, it was a mess.
Yeah. Another runner up. Garbage Pail Kids, the movie, which
it's so bad.
I haven't published my page yet, but I have started doing filming locations for.
Oh, Garbage no Pail way. Kids. Have
yeah.
you?
It's not cool. published yet, but I've been researching and getting ready for that. So
I'm so excited for that.
It is a.
The movie's kind of scary. Yeah.
The
makeup and stuff. It's grotesque.
Yeah, I got turned on to it, I think, last year, because I think one of my YouTube channels that I subscribed to was kind of making fun of it. I'm like, I don't think I've actually watched, you know, like, why would you? Why would anybody spend time watching it?
It's bad.
It is bad. So,
I had the cards as a kid. I was like a big fan. They were disgusting, but that was the point. You're like, I can't believe they made these look. The movie I did not see as a child. I don't remember even knowing about it then. But years later, you watch that on YouTube, you're in for a ride.
It is. So check it out, people, and I'll get those locations published soon. So,
all right.
But the winner was Jaws the Revenge.
Jaws the Revenge. Best cover of the franchise, though. Next to one.
So, yeah. So it's really a toss-up between the three of those. I mean, to me, I would almost give it a three-way tie.
That's a good point. For worst visual effects. You could argue one over the other.
So next is worst original song. And so a lot of these, we have no idea what they are, except for one of them. But runner up wise is You Can Be a Garbage Pail Kid from Garbage Pail Kids, the movie, which I think they actually sing in the movie, which is fine. Million Dollar Mystery from Million Dollar Mystery.
Yeah.
Not familiar with it. Let's Go to Heaven in My Car from Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol.
That old like classic. That, yeah. Wait, is that Brian Wilson of Beach Boys? It is.
It is.
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys fame wrote that. Mm. And which isn't par for 1987 Brian Wilson. He was kind of out there in his crazy years. I could see him dumping something like that. Okay.
It's Police Academy.
Yeah, Citizens on Patrol.
El Coco Loco, So So Bad from Who's That Girl?
Who's that girl?
Which I'm not familiar with that song, but
here's
kind of a straight, worst original song, I Want Your Sex from Beverly Hills Cop 2 by George Michael. Now,
surprised at that. He was on top of his game in 87.
Yeah, I don't remember that necessarily being thought of as a bad song.
No.
I'm more shocked that it was considered an original song for a movie.
Yeah. I'm shocked about that, and also shocked. This was pre Faith 90 George Michael, post Wham. So 87, he was doing some of his best work, and that song is not. I don't know. I wouldn't put it in the worst original song. No. I don't remember that even being Beverly Hills Cop 2, even though I've seen that movie. But
yeah,
it's an interesting choice.
Yeah, so shocking. It's not even nominated, but won. So
bad, I disagree bad with move.
The raspberries. Worst new star, Jim Varney for Ernest Goes to Camp. Oh, I think that poor guy, he was fine.
He was fine.
Yeah.
And his name's Jim Varney, and he played Ernest, and he epitomized that whole character. It was, come on. Come on.
Deborah Sandlin in Tough Guys Don't Dance. Have no idea.
Tough Guys Don't Dance.
David and Peter Paul, the Barbarian Brothers in The Barbarians.
I don't know The Barbarians, Robert.
If I remember right, are these the people, the twins that also, they did like the Twin Sitters movie and stuff like that? I think they are. So it's kind of like these over-muscled guys.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Not that I know that I'm looking at it, but they are billed as Barbarian Brothers, not like John Lynch and, you know, it's. That's like their name. Their IMDb names are Barbarian Brothers. Like, what if you want rights to something else or you branch out? How does that work for a union guild?
So the thing is, the only reason I vaguely know, because a fan reached out on my website that they wanted to find, I was asked to find the filming locations for Twin Sitters starring these
are
two.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And
that's
so
very peculiar.
I sat through some clips. I'm like, oh my God, I can't watch this, but.
Yeah. Well, at least you answer fans. See, listeners?
I'm working on it, fans. We'll see.
He does care.
All the Garbage Pail Kids from the Garbage Pail Kids movie. It's not really their fault, you know, these little people that were in, you know.
Yeah. You know, what kind of opportunities were maybe they not given in 1987. I would do the role.
And I guess they don't put the actor's name. They just put the their character names.
Yeah, like
Valerie Vomit.
Clark Shark.
Oh, yeah, we should make our own Garbage Pail Kids cars, so.
We should. There is a Clark Shark.
Is that where you got your name?
No, absolutely not. But he was disgusting. He was like a shark, but it was a flesh kid, and you're like, oh gosh, I'll send it to you in the chat later, but it's amazing. All right.
But winner for Worst New Star was David Mendenhall for Over the Top. So Over the Top is also a canon movie. Yep. Where they also spent a lot of money. I think they, at that time, they gave an actor their biggest paycheck for Sylvester Stallone. So this is why another reason Superman 4 suffered.
Right.
Because canon would release over a dozen movies a year. I mean, every month or every 3 weeks, they'd have a movie come out.
Yeah, so, that was their whole model. It was just like pumping out. And that was a bomb, too.
It didn't
do well. Now, I wonder why. The whole movie is based about arm wrestling.
Yeah.
The final tournament is like an arm wrestling tournament, and there's an arena with people. I'm like, where in America are people going in throngs to see arm wrestling? Like, wrestling, I get it. That will bring them out. But it was like arm wrestling, and it's like the most boring thing. Like, if you're more than 10 feet away, you can't even, like, see. It's like, what are you doing?
How quick and how exciting was, you know, like, would you show up for a 30-second thing? I don't know.
Right. It was so bad.
Who knows? And obviously, I don't think that was even an 80s thing. So I can't even chalk it up to that.
Yeah, no, I agree. But David Mendenhall, he was the son.
I would assume so. I should probably look the other movie.
Oh, here he is. Yeah, he was. He was bad in that. He deserved that. Razzie.
So congratulations, David.
Good job.
Worst screenplay. We got Who's That Girl? Which I've seen once so far.
Her finest role. Next to Breathless.
Tough Guys Don't Dance. Jaws the Revenge. Ishtar was also nominated. So that at the time, that was a big deal. When they Ishtar was kind of touted as the worst flop in a long time. I can't remember how many millions that it cost, whatever. But it's largely forgotten about now. But it was a big deal.
I think it was eclipsed by like Waterworld, but before that it was always like Cutthroat Island, Ishtar, and like Waterworld were the big three of like bombs.
But and I don't know quite how they decide. I'm sure it was expensive, but anyway. But winner for worst screenplay was this has probably aged well. Leonard Part 6. Story by Bill Cosby.
And not only the story by Bill Cosby, but produced and starring. It is the ghost dad of the 80s. It's I don't even remember the movie that well, but it's very it's like a spy. It's Bill Cosby being ridiculous. And I don't think it aged well at all, Robert. I agree.
For worst directors, we have a lot of films that we just talked about. So Paul Whelan for Leonard Part 6, Joseph Sargent for Jaws the Revenge, James Foley for Who's That Girl, and it was a tie for Worst Director, Elaine May for Ishtar, and Norman Mailer for Tough Guys Don't Dance.
Tough one there. Poor movies. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Tough guys.
Now we're getting to the acting categories. So worst supporting actress, Isabella Rossellini for two films, Siesta and Tough Guys Don't Dance. I do love Isabella Rossellini. So
me too.
My most repeated line though is for when she was on Friends.
Death Becomes Her.
Well, that Death Becomes Her for sure. But in Friends, when she, you know, because they have the what do they call the not the hall pass card, you know, like people they could sleep with.
Yeah.
Are allowed, you know, outside of the relationship.
Yeah, right.
And Isabella Rossellini was on there, and then she got moved out. I think it was Ross or something like that. And he's like, but you were, you know, he had a chance to be with her. And she's like, but I'm not on this card. He's like, you were. She's like, but it's laminated.
That is good. I forget
so
that.
So I still say, but it's laminated. Yeah. Grace Jones, also for Siesta.
I love Grace Jones. More for her singing than acting.
Gloria Foster for Leonard Part 6. Mariel Hemingway for Superman 4.
Okay.
Lacey Warfield.
Of course. But
the winner was Daryl Hannah in Wall Street.
Okay. I wouldn't have given her the crown, but I get it.
Yeah. She was sleepy character in Wall Street. You know, she was just kind of
unnecessary.
Yeah. There.
Yeah.
But
it makes you want to watch something else when she's on.
Yeah.
She's in that movie, I'm saying. Yeah.
She didn't even have a cameo in the.
No. When he sleeps, never sleeps.
Yeah, my never sleeps, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's the Shia LaBeouf curse, man. It's like Indiana Jones. You watch the sequels of 80s movies and you're like, oh, can't.
they made another. So maybe they'll make another Wall Street. Maybe. So who knows?
Right. What are they going to do?
Worst supporting actor, Mac Dryden and Jamie Allcroft and Million Dollar Mystery. As Fred and Bob. I'm not sure why they're put together. Also for Million Dollar Mystery, Tom Bosley. Michael Caine and Jaws the Revenge.
Okay, first of all, Tom Bosley. I haven't seen Million Dollar Mystery, but I do like Tom Bosley. Don't you think Hoagie, first of all, his name's Hoagie, Michael Caine and Jaws, yes. Which is hilarious. I love that his name's Hoagie. Yes, it's a bad movie, but is he a bad actor in it? I don't think so.
No, what does he have to work with? Yeah.
He
I don't think it was necessarily phoning it in either, now that you think about it. And there's nobody in that movie that's necessarily bad. I just watched on one of the Jaws YouTube channels, they've been doing a lot of interviews for Jaws 2. But I went back in time and they were doing a Jaws 4 and they interviewed the two Brody brothers from Jaws the Revenge. Just to kind of get get their input on kind of how they kind of what the movie they thought they were making at the time and so forth. But they talked a little bit, and Michael Caine's story is pretty. He has a pretty famous quote that he's never seen the movie Jaws 4, but he has seen the house.
Right. Yeah.
That it
paid for the house.
Yeah. So, and it's also known because of the Jaws either reshoots or the shooting schedule that he missed getting his Oscar that year. So.
Right. Right. Hoagie.
It kind of worked out, you know, because you remember more of that aspect that he wasn't there versus if he just got the Oscar, you know.
Right, right. Yeah. So. It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Let's see. I lost it here. Well, so we're supporting actor. Oh, Billy Barty for Masters of the Universe. Now, we've talked about this movie. I do have a soft spot for this film. So I was working in the movie theaters at this time. So I saw this a number of times.
Oh, cool.
I was not even a Masters of the Universe fan. You know, I was way too old for those toys. But
yeah,
I do like Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, it has a soft spot in a lot of hearts.
Yeah,
it does. And nobody else better to play He-Man than Dolph Lundgren in 1987.
Yeah,
I mean, they nailed it.
But with winner for worst supporting actor is David Mendenhall in Over the Top, who we just discussed. So
yeah, deservingly so. Yep. He does suck in that.
Sorry,
that little brat.
Yeah,
I don't know him personally. He sucks in it.
He's just so bad.
He's a military brat.
He could be listening right now.
Dad, I'm not going. He's like, you're gonna be arm wrestling, and they're like, oh, it's just so bad. He's this greasy truck driver. It looks almost like he kidnaps his son, but he doesn't. And they're going arm wrestling, and he's in a military uniform half the movie, the kid. And because he's in military school, he's just like, I don't want to sleep here. And like, you're sleeping in the cab tonight. I'm like, what is going on here? It's so weird.
I don't know if I've seen it now, I think, but
avoid it.
So speaking of kidnapping movie, like my sister and I talk about, like, there was a big kidnapping theme in the late 70s, early 80s, where that was kind of a...
Yeah.
Weirdly fantasized things where, you know, kids were kidnapped and the kidnappers end up falling in love, you know, like it all worked out at the end, you know, Savannah Smiles.
Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah. And it was like, was that a thing? Were we prepping our kids to be?
Yeah. What was happening?
Kidnap? I don't know.
Anywhere from Flight of the Navigator to this. It's like, what's with the kids being kidnapped?
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of might seem, it seems okay. You know, could even be better in your parent life. Yeah. All right. Worst actress, Sharon Stone and Alan Quarterman in The Lost City of Gold. Follow up to what was the first one on this film? King Solomon's Mines.
I was going to ask you, is this part of the Indiana Jones?
I think
rip-off?
This is the second.
Looks just like it.
Yeah, you can't tell the difference between them. So.
Oh, it's amazing.
Deborah Sandlund in Tough Guys Don't Dance. Sandra Locke in Rat Boy. Lorraine Gary and John.
Endless Redman.
Yeah.
It's not related, but.
I did like Lorraine. I like Lorraine Gary's hair in Jaws Revenge.
It's very well done.
Kind of asymmetrical wedge.
Yes. I should have worn my Jaws Revenge shirt today.
Oh, come on.
Damn it.
I even wore my Podcastle shirt.
Oh, yes.
And you wouldn't even wear Jaws Revenge.
I didn't realize it was on the show. I'm sorry.
The winner, though, for worst actress, is a little known person named, how do you pronounce it? Madonna. For Who's That Girl?
How dare you? How dare they? You show me a 64-year-old that looks like as good as Madonna, and I'll show you a liar, sir.
What is that from?
I'm just making it up.
You're just making it up right off the
defending
coast.
Madonna. Now, show me a 64-year-old that looks that good.
So I've only seen this once, but I do remember laughing at one of her her lines in the movie.
Which one?
I can't remember. She says something. She's using some type of affect. Where she goes, something, something, give us a kiss. I don't know.
Wait, she's using an accent in the movie?
Yeah, she's trying to be something, and she's like, I don't know. I'll find it.
Like a foreign accent or like a,
no, like
a Brooklyn
rich,
accent?
Like, no, like a rich person's accent. Like she's trying to fit in or something. I can't remember. So that's
like
only one
really now on Gilligan's Island?
I kind of
where it's like not really an accent, but it is. It's like a rich person's accent.
Something like that. I'll remember it. It's like, give us a kiss.
Give us a kiss.
I'll have to find it sometime, but maybe you can interject it into the show. I don't know.
Okay. I will.
All right.
I'm going to start working on my clip game too.
Worst actor, Sylvester Stallone for Over the Top.
Okay. Yeah. That's yeah.
Amazing. Ryan O'Neal and Tough Guys Don't Dance. Hmm. New one here, Judd Nelson in From the Hip.
From the Hip. Okay.
I vaguely remember. Yeah.
What do you think? Wait, is that one of those things where he really is bad in there, or it's
bad
to work with what he has?
I think he would, and I don't quite remember this movie because everybody's kind of favorite Judd Nelson, of course, is, you know, The Breakfast Club. And then in St. Elmo's Fire and this movie, whatever, he's kind of moves over to kind of the Yuppieville and stuff like that. So I don't know if they're going against type or what the kind of deal happened to be, but
yeah,
you kind of realized he was better.
he's better in the detention hall than Yuppieville.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. So, right. But it could be, I'm sure. I'm sure it wasn't the script that was wonderful and that he was bad and From the Hip. I'm sure it was.
It was sure.
It
right.
Was the script. Yeah. He was doing the best he could. another nominee was Bruce the Shark and Jaws the Revenge.
Okay. Okay.
Which
it wasn't the same shark though, right?
No, it never is. It is. And so in the theatrical version, I mean, it was fine. It looked fake. As it does, and it was in the most of it was in the clear blue waters of the Bahamas, you know, so you could see everything. And then it was notorious for when they did the when they released on VHS, they opened up the mat, so you could see sometimes you could see the rigs unintentionally that nobody bothered to kind of fix it.
And the recycled footage.
Oh yeah, which also wasn't in the theatrical. If I remember right.
Really?
The version I saw in the theater is slightly different than what ended up later on video.
I'm so jealous you got to see that in the theater.
I think they have both on the things. But yeah, so I did see Jaws on the actual 35mm screen.
I mean, that's really special.
Yeah.
I mean, to see it as it came out. I mean, obviously they do screenings of Jaws, you know, all the time. But to see a new Jaws movie.
Oh,
when it comes out, is something we'll never see again in our lifetime. I don't think they're going to touch that franchise again.
No, I was excited, and I think I told you, I think it was this, somehow it worked out. It was either between the opening night of Jaws or a sneak preview of The Lost Boys, and I'm like, well, it's got to be Jaws.
It's got to be Jaws.
What a regret.
I remember that story. Yeah, and that's so cool.
I could have seen.
Hey, it's a smart bet, though, at the time. Of course you would
do
that.
At the time, I was like, Jaws, it's Universal. It's got to be a big budget. It's going to be a hit.
It's going to be a hit.
They're in the Bahamas.
We got to do one of these episodes. We got to do a watch along with either Jaws or Superman 4.
Yeah.
With the audience, like a 2-hour episode and just like reactions. We'll it's gold.
We'll do it. The winner was Bill Cosby in Leonard Part 6.
In Part 6 is Leonard Parker.
Oh.
Because. And this was during the height of the Cosby Show. So
he
could have done anything and been like, just I'm gonna make a movie.
Yeah. When are they going to release? When are they release this on 4K?
Do they even show the Cosby Show anymore, or is that?
I don't think they do. I think there's, you know, there's They're a good. Shift, yeah, between like how is it weird to watch the Cosby Show or Seventh Heaven or you know some of these shows now that have been kind of say semi permanently ruined, you know, by the actors in it are kind of behind the scenes. So, but
yeah, you can't watch. You
know, who wants to pay for that, or who is you know anyway. Worst picture, in these all movies we've already discussed, but nominees, Who's That Girl, Tough Guys Don't Dance, Jaws, The Revenge, Ishtar, and the winner, Leonard Part 6.
Leonard Part 6 took the gold for worst picture.
Congratulations.
Who else was in Leonard Part 6? Congratulations. I don't know. Is anybody else, like, good in there?
I'd have to look it up. But,
oh, it's, no. Cinematography by John DeBont.
Oh.
Which I can see where I... what they were probably trying to do with that is an action movie, but hilarious that he did that. It was a budget of $24 million, Robert, and it brought home 4.6.
Way to go, Bill.
Cosby. You know what? I bet that was one of those movies where because he was on the height of the Cosby Show, this, like in Ghost Dad, just throw him in a movie. They'll bring in some and people like knew better. Mm. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Stay in TV.
Okay, well, I've been waiting a long time. Great job, by the way. That was a good segment of the revisiting the Razzies. We did a Guess the Movie by Tagline a few months ago, and I've curated some taglines of my own for you, Robert.
I'm going to be so bad. 1990. 1990. Okay, that's my clue.
That's the clue.
Okay.
If you're up for the challenge, if you don't want to do it today,
yeah, I feel like I'm going to fail horribly. I think you did pretty well on yours.
I did re-listen. I was maybe 50%. I think you're going to do very well.
It's out of context. It's hard. So
it is very hard out of context.
If it's 1990, I was in the middle of college. So who knows what was going
on? What
was
going on
in
your brain?
20-year-old Robert.
20-year-old. Where did you go to college?
Where am I? My first year, I went down to Northwest Missouri State University.
Oh.
It's very small college. The summer before college, I took a workshop out at UCLA. And so that was kind of my, like a week long workshop. And I thought, oh, this is what a college campus is like. And you know, UCLA is huge. And then I went to Missouri. I was like, oh, this is too small. So after my first year, I did my other 3 years at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Slightly bigger. Yeah. Back to Nebraska. Yeah.
I like it. I wanted to amend. I did watch Higher Ground for my What You've Been Watching. I always want to revisit that movie and think it's better than it is, and it always lets you down.
Was it like 92, 93?
Was it? Yeah, 92, 93. Yeah. And it wants to go one direction, and that would have been very cool for the early 90s because it is kind of on the edge.
Yeah.
But then they take you into like an American History X feel, then back to like they're trying to do too many social issues at once, and they don't gel it together, right? So it just feels like four student films mashed together.
Gotcha.
It doesn't work, but yeah, there's some good ideas there, but I wanted to crowbar that in. Okay. So this is the movie tagline quiz. Guess the movie by the tagline. And these are 1990. There's 20 of them. There's no points. Just get into the zen.
All right.
Of 1990.
Trying to think of 1990. Okay.
Okay, sir. First one, a family comedy without the family.
I'm going to be so horrible at this.
I will give clues if you want.
1990, a family comedy without the family. I have zero ideas. Yeah.
I'm up here, you big horse's ass. Come and get me. I'm dreaming of a wild Christmas.
I don't know.
Macaulay Culkin's in this movie, and I think you hate it.
I do hate this. Home Alone.
Yeah. I didn't expect you to get that one because one, you're in college, and I hope you weren't seeing Home Alone.
I had to.
And then two, it's Home Alone, and it's like you said on a previous episode of Set Jetter Saturdays, you were looking around the theater going, why is everybody laughing at this movie? It was so funny.
It was not funny.
But I could just picture you looking around like, what?
Yeah,
it wasn't funny, right?
No. I felt like there was something else that I remember recently that I was like, none of this is funny. What is going on? Oh, so. bringing back horrible movies, yeah, or memories, yeah.
Oh, it's bad. All right. Okay, all right. Number two tagline is, "You will believe." You will believe.
Oh, 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Ghosts?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Good job, sir.
I do remember seeing that in the theater as well. So.
Good
it
job.
That was a big deal movie at the time that people were kind of like,
yeah,
shocked.
Powerhouse. And excited.
Yeah. So yeah.
I do enjoy Ghost though. I do like that.
It still mostly holds up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. Okay. Number three movie taglines from 1990. Inside everyone is a frontier waiting to be discovered. I'll try to say it like the 90s trailer guy. Okay. Inside everyone is a frontier waiting to be discovered.
Oh, so it's not Inner Space because that was 87.
Correct.
Inside everyone. Is it sci-fi?
It is not sci-fi.
Okay, it is not. Okay.
The key word in this is frontier, and it's not sci-fi.
Mm.
It is actually like a frontier, like the frontier plains of Nebraska.
Gotcha. I do not know.
And that would be Dances with Wolves.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. No wonder.
I know you're not a Dances with Wolves
guy. You're picking all my favorites.
I love Dances with Wolves. I watched that like every day as a kid. I don't know, man. I'm a fan. Okay. Number four is, she walked off the street into his life and stole his heart.
Is this a hooker with Heart of Gold? Movie.
It absolutely is.
All right, so 1990 hooker movie. Is it Milk Money? Was that 1990?
It's not. No. Milk Money. Yeah. And I don't think Milk Money was 1990. Milk Money is 94.
Gotcha.
The key to this is, yeah, the hooker. Think about the hooker movies in 1990. And she stole his heart, so it's
yeah,
she's not hurting anybody.
Oh, it's a Pretty Woman
story. It's a Pretty Woman. You got it.
I've only seen that once, so.
I wasn't sure if you liked this movie or not. I thought you liked it for some reason.
I do not.
But I guess you wouldn't, yeah, because it's a dumb movie.
You know how kind I feel about is. Dumb movie.
Well, yeah, do you remember the plots? He's just like, he's in town for business, but he's there for like a month. And then he's staying at the hotel, but then he's like going to court. And it just seems such like a, I'm doing business things. And you're like, what is his job? Remember, he's like company acquisitions.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Anyway.
And then.
It's strange.
I remember recently, I remember something about how much did he pay her for to be.
Yeah.
For the week or whatever. And somebody figured out hourly. It was like not minimum wage. You know, like.
Yeah, it was like $8 an hour. Like today's standard, like $8 an hour.
I don't know. What? It's like, well, is she getting out of that? So. No, and I never quite got. I mean, it was one of those, and I was probably kind of a snooty 19-20-year-old as well. But I was just like, I don't like those hits.
I'm with you. I've only seen the movie I think once, and I don't know. Maybe it's better on the big screen. Not sure. Number
it
five.
It had a lot of stuff going for it, I'm sure. So yeah.
Right, had something. It did kick off Julia Roberts' whole. Because yeah, after that, didn't she do like Sleeping with the Enemy?
Yeah, I think because before that, she was like in Mystic Pizza and a couple other things, and this kind of put her into the stratosphere where...
Right, threw her up there.
Next level. Yep.
Number five is, they're mean, green, and on the screen. And obviously, there's several movie taglines for different movies, so this was the least obvious one. All the other ones had the name in the... I think had the name in the tagline.
They're mean and green. Is it Gremlins 2?
It's not Gremlins 2.
Okay. They're mean.
The green. Hint would be green. What was green in 1990? A cartoon green.
Is it a cartoon movie?
Based on a cartoon, but gotcha. A live action film. Mean based on comic green. Books.
Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
That it is, sir.
Okay. Never seen it. I'm sure it's wonderful. It yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Wonderful.
It's something wonderful.
What are we going to watch? Something wonderful. Wonderful.
Something wonderful.
Yeah.
Number six, 1990 movie taglines. How would you know if someone stole your mind?
Total Recall? How would you,
that it is, sir.
Okay.
Good job.
That was another big deal movie, I remember, because I remember. I had a friend at the time, and she didn't understand why I would kind of flock, or I'd always want to kind of go to these movies.
Hey.
Or whatever. I said, you know, if they're paying, more or less, we get to see a $40 million project for $4 or whatever it was at the time, you know, so.
When you think about it, too, Total Recall, that was pre-Terminator 2. They had some pretty cutting-edge special effects for 1990. They were sure, really, like, dabbling with you. Yeah. New technology.
Yeah. And certainly better than the remake that they made.
Oh, yeah, with Colin Farrell.
Yeah, not good.
Come on.
Yeah.
So, okay, Total Recall. Good job. Next one is, they saved the best trip for last, but this time they may have gone too far.
When you said that they saved for the best last, I'm like, it's Freddy's Dead.
Me too. I thought immediately of Freddy's Dead, which was that 1990?
I think it was 91. But,
that's why it's not on this list, yeah.
They saved the best trip for last?
They saved the best trip for last, but this time they may have gone too far. It's a tough one out of context. It really is. So I'm going to say this is the third and final installment of a very popular franchise. That started off in the 80s.
Is it a Bad News Bears?
Not Bad News Bears. Think about trips. Where would you go too far on a trip? In a car.
It's not
in
Vegas.
In
time travel. Oh, Back to the Future Part 3?
Yes.
No. It is?
Oh. It is. See, it's tough without context.
Yeah.
You just don't know. It could be anything.
Yeah. I did not. So I like part two. Part three was kind of like, huh.
Yeah, I'm with you. I will watch three if I'm on a kick, but I always go to two. It's like the best one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part three kind of got in the territory because, like, obviously they kept everybody was playing another version of themselves. But I was like, at what point is like,
right.
Like, if that's his great grandma and great grandpa, but they both look like each other, like, how incestuous, like, did they always look alike? You know, like,
why does everyone look the exact same?
Yeah.
It's like,
by the time they get to 1985, there should be some indicators of incestuous relationships.
Right. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Then you have Idiocracy. But.
Yeah, so that's Back to the Future Part 3. Number 8 is, last time, it blew you through the back wall of the theater. This time, it will blow you sky high. I also love that they're making the tagline about, like, being in the theater.
So it's a sequel, I'm assuming.
This is a sequel. It is the second installment of another large franchise.
Gotcha. 1990. So they blew. So
this one's going to be pretty difficult.
Is it going to be difficult too?
I want to give you a hint. It is the second installment. As I said, it is an action, big action movie franchise, film franchise. Like one of the top five, maybe of all time. Like when you think of action movie franchises.
Oh, is it Die Hard?
It is Die Hard 2.
Okay. Dare to. Yep. So, yep.
Which is such a tough one. There's no clues.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that when you said sky high, I was like, okay. Now, I mean, then I started thinking, like, oh, okay. So, which I also remember excited in the theater. I like Die Hard too. I think
other
people do, but it actually did bump it up a level. And I love Bonnie Bedelia.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did bump it up a level.
Why does this keep happening to us?
It is. I mean, I kind of like the first two better than the. I don't like the later ones really that much.
Yeah. Third was kind of, it was like a hot, sweaty New York. I was like, oh, you could just smell it coming through the screen.
I know. And he's smoking and
yeah,
it's so implausible. I mean,
and then they made a couple more that just went way off. And then it became superhero, like literally. Die Hard 3, they started doing some stuff where his back should have been broken a couple of times. And then other time where he's hanging onto a jet, you know, like we moved into.
Well, the thing that worked, exactly, the thing that works with the first two is he is an ordinary street cop detective that's strung out, and he had a lucky day and he kicked some ass. And then he turned into like Superman, and you're like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Number 9 is It's a Jungle Gym Out There.
Kindergarten Cop?
It is. Wow. Okay. Right out of the gate.
Never Good seen job. It, but I knew. I'm getting more into 1990 mode, so.
It's not a Toma.
That's what it's like. It's not. Was it Miko Hughes has this little, a boy has a penis and a girl has a vagina.
Boys have a penis.
But the thing is, yeah, people still use It's Not a Tuma.
It's not a Tuma. Shut up! And I expect them to answer immediately. Who is it, Daddy? Okay. Number 10 is Sometimes It's Dangerous to Presume. That's it. That's the tagline.
Courtroom drama, I assume.
Let's say...
maybe not.
Okay, so this one...
Is it Presumed Innocent? Is that
It the, is. It
Harrison,
absolutely
is. That
is
that Harrison Ford?
Yes.
And Bonnie Bedelia?
Is it Bonnie Bedelia in there? I thought it
I think it is. I'll let you check since I'm doing a no hands. Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah, it certainly is. It's right in the tagline would have been my hint because there's nothing else I could have done. Okay, good job.
Why does this keep happening to us?
Why does this keep happening? Why does this keep happening? She is great.
Yeah.
Okay, number 11. I'm on my way. I'm on my way.
Feels like that's an action something, maybe. Feels Talk like it should
it
be.
Tonight. It was on the Razzies. No, it wasn't. We mentioned it in what you've been watching.
Gotcha. What was it? So did I watch this?
You did not. I did.
But you watched it. Now I can't even remember.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Madonna's in this movie, if that helps.
So it's not Who's That Girl? Is it Dick Tracy?
Yes.
Oh, that's what he says. He's on my way on his wristwatch.
On his little watch.
Okay. Gotcha. That was 19. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. It was 1990.
1990, yeah.
Of course I know that. It's a Madonna film.
It's a Madonna film.
I know everything.
Breathless Mahoney.
I know everything about Madonna.
I know everything about Madonna. Number 12 is Murderers Come with Smiles.
Murderers Come with Smile.
You know what? This tagline, I'll have to think about it, but it was the least obvious of them. It really wasn't my favorite. So,
Other taglines give it away a little too much?
They did. Murderers. If you want a hint, let me know, because this is kind of tough.
Yeah, give me another hint.
It's a landmark, iconic film about the mafia.
So 1990?
Mm-hmm.
So Goodfellas was before this.
Was it?
Or is it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
It is Goodfellas.
It is Goodfellas? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I get that you're mixed up to too that. So, yeah, with so. Goodfellas. I always feel like it's earlier.
Yeah.
Like 88 or something.
It feels like an 80s movie. Yeah, more than that happened. And I maybe shot it in the 80s and released in the 90s.
I think that, yeah, probably.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. 13 is, I think, one that we both like a lot, or at least we quote, but it's a weird tagline. The tagline is, "The tide has come." And I got to give you a hint. It has nothing to do with tides or oceans.
Oh, damn it.
The hint I should give you, though, is it is the opposite of oceans. It's more of a mountain, snowy kind of setting. The tide has come.
Mountain, snowy, 1990.
Maybe not so much mountain, but think more of snowy. Yeah,
snowy.
The tide has come. I'll give you a hint. It is a book. It was a book first adapted from a novel by Stephen King.
Is this a TV movie?
It is not a TV movie.
Okay.
Oh. But the both actors in this movie were both in Dick Tracy as well, which came out the same year.
Misery?
It's Misery.
Okay.
James Caan and Kathy Bates, both also in Dick Tracy.
I was trying to think Snowy, and my only other Snowy movie was Shining for Stephen King. The tide has come.
Bizarre, right?
It is bizarre. So
it must have been, maybe it was a line in the movie. I don't remember, though. Mm. It was weird.
I remember seeing Misery in the theater, and I remember being...
Oh, cool.
The snowing, driving in the snow scene just made me... freaked out.
I
knew it was because I remember I had read the book because I was a big Stephen King fan from the 80s into the early 90s, but so I was familiar with it. But yeah, and Kathy Bates, even though she had done bits roles before this, that she kind of blew everybody away.
She won the Oscar for it, I think.
She did, and a small role by Lauren Bacall before she did The Mirror Has Two Faces.
Classic. Quick question. Do you still have your books from the 80s of Stephen King?
Some of them that survived. Yeah. So okay. I had an apartment fire. Most of them that survived. And actually, when I purged, I didn't keep every single one, but I kept the ones that I still enjoyed reading.
Okay, so cool.
I still have a lot of my originals.
I try to collect those. I mean, They're just the fonts and everything. They're just so cool to have. Like I'm not going to bore the audience, but I do have a whole collection over here of like different seasons and stuff, and there's just something cool about 80s King's books, like the font and everything.
The smell of the paperback. And
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The taglines. I love them.
I do feel lucky that, you know, because mid-80s, I started getting into Stephen King, and then you could guarantee there was more or less a new book a year.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of coming out, so I was excited, and I think you had to kind of wait or go to the library to get the hardback. Because remember, it used to be a hardback, and then you had to wait for the paperback for what you could afford.
The hardback was a big deal. It was a big purchase, and you're excited. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I would always try to keep them super, like, very OCD, like, in order. Like, I don't want to bend the hardback pages. It was, like, very...
Don't want to ruin the binding my hands. Too much. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to wreck it. It was
because I think, and probably somewhere in high school, then I could start affording the hardback as soon as it came out. Because I wanted to read it right away. But,
You want to get into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 14 is Mom is Many Things. Normal isn't one of them. Mom.
I want to say, Don't Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, but I don't think. Oh, is that what it is?
No, it's not. No, but that's what goes to my head. I'm like,
yeah, because I was like, that's all I can picture. So, Mom is not.
I'll give you a hint. It has, if you'd like a hint.
Yeah.
By not normal, by not being normal, they mean Mom is more mythical creature, supernatural kind of, in a lighthearted comedy way.
say the tagline once more.
Tagline is, Mom is many things, normal isn't one of them.
I'm going to have to give up on this one. I don't know.
It is Mermaids.
Ah. Now I picture the poster.
Cher.
Yeah. Cher and Winona Ryder, I think.
The poster is kind of funny.
Yeah.
That is a tough one, though.
Yeah.
15 is... I thought this movie was earlier than it was, so tell me if you think the same. But the funny, touching, and totally irresistible story of a working relationship that became a 25-year friendship. It's a mouthful.
Is it When Harry Met Sally?
It's not When Harry Met Sally. The funny, touching, and totally irresistible story of a working relationship that became a 25-year friendship.
Hmm. It's based on a true story. Yeah.
I don't know if it's based on a true story. Yeah. Dan Aykroyd's in there in a small role. And the larger role is an African American actor that's pretty iconic. Don't know if this movie would be made today.
1990.
Don't know if this would really be done.
Oh, I know now. Driving Miss Daisy.
Yes.
Which I also saw in the theater for my birthday.
Did you really?
Yep. I for some reason my aunt was in town, and then this is the movie we went to go see for my birthday for some reason.
Oh wow! Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, I think because they, I think they, it's now a stage play.
Yeah, I don't. I've only seen it once. I enjoyed it. I just don't know if they would do that same. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably not the same way. But and I think I drove by that house when I was in Atlanta. But
no.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Robert. Number 16 is Cruise Like Thunder.
Oh, Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder.
That it's called? Okay.
Yeah, the actor's last thunder. Name. And yeah. Yeah. It's so red.
Whew. Which I don't think I saw. But
I'd be like Die Hard being like, climb up to the Willis Tower with Willis, Bruce.
Name the movie.
Name the movie. Okay.
Who's 17 that?
Out of 20. He's back to protect the innocent. He's back to protect the innocent.
Is it RoboCop 2?
Yes, it is, sir.
I only because that just had its anniversary this week. So,
really?
Yeah. So shot in, I can't remember which Texas that was shot in. Houston? No. Dallas? No, I think it's Houston. Yeah. So I just did some locate. Houston and LA, of course. So.
Oh, yeah. I've seen your page for that. It's good. Okay. And 18 is Pull Over, Park, and Pray.
Jeez. Pull Over, Park, Pray. Gosh, I don't know.
This is a movie that you've covered, we've talked about a few times, and it is, you know, the tagline doesn't do this any justice.
Yeah.
It's a sci-fi movie, seeks second in a sequel for the franchise, and it takes place in a near future LA that's very like hot and gang ridden. And there's like a scientific.
Is it element. Predator?
Yes.
It's not Predator 2, is it?
It is Predator 2.
What's that pull over mean?
What? Pull over, park, and pray.
Yeah.
P-R-A-Y.
Prayer. Gotcha. Oh, gotcha.
But I don't get the pull over.
I don't get the pull over either because the Predator isn't pulling people.
He's not a cop. Yeah.
Yeah, all you had to see is gritty LA and. What year is it supposed to take place? I think
97.
Or something like that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Whew.
Okay. Two more here.
All right.
You're doing great.
Thanks.
Okay. Tagline is It's Playtime Again.
Child's Play Part 2.
Yes, sir. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. And finally, drum roll, everybody. Tagline is. Their innocence, their heritage, their lives. Nothing would be spared in the fight for their freedom.
Oof. Is this a Matthew movie?
Oh, this is the Matthew movie. Okay, if there's one Matthew movie, this is it, people.
Which I probably don't know then, but you know very well, and you'll be...
We'll be quoting
ashamed that I don't know it. So, okay,
I don't want to just give it away. I want to give you hints.
Okay. Say the tagline once more.
Their innocence, their heritage, their lives. Nothing would be spared in the fight for their freedom.
Okay.
It's a dicey one. It did win the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, Denzel Washington.
Oh, I know you talk about this. Hold on.
It's a historical movie.
I know. I picture the poster.
Matthew McConaughey. Or no, Matthew Broderick.
Broderick, yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
I know.
I
can picture the poster more than anything. Is it Something Soldiers? No.
It's Glory. It's Glory. But you got it.
Yeah.
You got it in your mind. You're there.
I knew you've talked about it before. I'm like, that's a Matthew movie. Not a Child's Play 2 RoboCop. To Predator 2 popcorn movie Robert likes.
I feel like your quiz was better than you did a better job curating them, but I don't know.
It was good. It was good. So in 1990, I said it was a tough year for me because I wasn't paying attention as much to movies in that year as
I didn't put that together. I guess you wouldn't be because in college you're not seeing Dick Tracy.
I'm doing another thing. Yeah. You think I would have seen Dick Tracy? Well, I didn't like Madonna until after, till the next year.
91 is when you kind of fell into the Madonna tender trap.
The ultimate dare is to tell the truth.
The ultimate.
That's the tagline from Truth or Dare.
Is it?
Yep. That's only so because cool. I had that poster and I'd read that every morning.
The ultimate truth or dare.
With Madonna laying on the, because in other countries it was called In Bed with Madonna. So.
Oh, was it really?
In the U.S. it was called Truth or Dare. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Then I knew what Madonna was all about. But.
Then I knew it was happening. Yeah. Okay. Before we go, I do have a blind man's bluff, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
This one is not at random. I did have to pick this because of tonight.
All right.
But I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to do it. And the description Robert has, you can find these all on setjitter.com, is as a true Madonna fan, you may be surprised that tonight was the first time I watched blank. But it's true. I did see a few clips to visit some locations, but that was it. Partially shot in New York, below are a couple of the California locations used in the film.
Who's that girl? ¿Quién es esta niña?
Oh, there it is. Okay, this is cool. I love the top header here. And I got to ask you before I even go through, where is that? Because I've seen this before in like
Pasadena.
Pasadena. That's it,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Oh, I knew it was. I knew I've seen it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be on this page?
It is. I think it's probably one of the first locations because, yeah, these are just the LA locations. So
there it is.
Mansion, for lack of a better word. Yeah. So, which I think I got some good shots despite it's gated, of course, you know, but. The gate pretty much looks the same. And this mansion has been used. It's used quite a bit in different films, even way back to the 70s.
It has.
Yeah. Actually, and I think, no, not this, but yeah, so it shows up quite a bit since it's just a very Tudor, great Tudor style looking mansion. So.
Yeah, yeah, it is cool. Good shot here. I guess you got this from the tracks.
Yeah, so way out in Oxnard, California, which not too far. We were actually nearby there when we were nearby the Friday 13th Part 5 barn.
Yeah. Oh, is that near Oxnard?
Yeah, and so I think, and if I remember correctly, at the time, I had not seen the film, but some Madonna fans wanted me to go find these locations. And so this is why I ventured out there.
I know this train that runs all the way through. I think you did a great job with that shot, though. That's a difficult one to find.
Yeah, and all these visits were well before I actually saw the movie, so I found some clips and kind of looked it up. So.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
did a good job. This is a cool-looking building.
Yeah, so that's downtown LA, so that's used kind of that is kind of City National Plaza. So that's used quite a bit. Remember in Heroes, I think the finale took place there or something.
Maybe that's
because it was supposed to be New York, you know, and it kind of looks New York or Chicago.
It does. You could say that was New York, and I'd buy it.
And this is supposed to be, I guess, all this is still supposed to be New York.
Who's that girl?
From what I remember. So, and then, I would say, they often used the 650 South Spring, which I don't think it's an actual working building, but this building's used in everything from label to whatever. So
you've seen it around.
Yeah, also supposed to be New York. So
Madonna's having a fantastic hair day in the shot.
You know, this is where I look. I was like, so I hate that. I've never been a fan of that look.
Is that because it's?
I don't
too
know.
Marilyn Monroe-ish for you.
It's too at a short bob and the dark eyebrow and just kind of whatever and kind of her affectation was like not. I was like, and during I was not a Madonna fan during this time, 1987. No.
I'm with you on the eyebrows. I you have to match them.
Yeah. So, but I've had her been able to hear her sing "Who's That Girl" a couple times in concert. So
really.
Yeah.
Is that fan favorite that's not mainstream?
It is. So when she was doing Rebel Heart tour, every night she'd pick a different song, random song, to kind of sing that wasn't on the usual. So she did Who's That Girl a few times.
Who's That Girl? That's so cool.
Esta Niña.
Esta Niña.
But I did watch the whole movie sometime. And then I'll find that little, my favorite quote that I like.
Oh, yeah.
If I can. So Yeah.
You do. I always get lost. I haven't been through every page on your site, but I do.
What?
I you know, maybe I have. I've seen them all.
I'm kidding.
But I got to tell you, though, it's still a great site. And if people, I'm sure most people listen to the show have gone on it. But if you haven't, do yourself a favor and go to setjetter.com, because that's how I met Robert. And I'm a fan, and you do great work. And I just think it's so cool. I'm really excited about Garbage Pail Kids.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, so I've read to visit a few locations, and then I saw Paul at Then and Now after I did, but unknowingly, we both were somehow started doing Garbage Pail locations, Garbage Pail Kids locations. So,
cool.
I remember, so they shot it in a kind of warehouse and two, and I was like, oh, you know, they shot mostly from the back, you know, and so it's one of those, like, do I just go, you know, and so.
Yeah.
Do I do some light trespassing to the back? And I think somebody's back there. I'm like, it's okay if I take pictures, and because Garbage Pail Kids, and they're like, usually people are like, what? You don't care, you know? But
yeah, anyway. They're like, what? Just go ahead. Did you and Paul, was that coincidental or you?
It was coincidental because I think I posted something or said I was there. One of us posted like just random pictures. I'm like, he's like, I was just there too. So. For both have it in our minds or something like that. So maybe we both subscribe to the same, you know, YouTube channels and
both.
Yeah, because usually that's not the first thing you're like, yeah, let's go visit the Garbage Pail Kids movie sites. But yeah,
let's go do that. You did post. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It is a bad one. So
yeah,
check it out. Yeah.
No. I'm just excited to see that. And you did post recently. I think it was Psycho had an anniversary recently.
Yes, the original Psycho. Or Psycho.
So cool, that movie's so old, or in terms of locations, it's, you know, that you still get some that have remained relatively untouched. Even the one around, like, the garage, you can see some of the background stuff. Yeah. You're like, it's pretty cool that was shot in 1960.
A few pieces that are still there, and then, and at the time, some of those, like, the ones way off in, was it Gorman, California? This is before I was like bringing screenshots or anything, you know, so this is like over a decade ago. So I just do my best from memory, you know, kind of how kind of things lined up, but yeah, so.
Yeah. Yeah. You did a good job with that. What's the next, page that you're going to post?
I don't know because I'm getting ready to travel. So I'll do LA for a few days. And so trying to Vancouver for a week, and so I'm literally not prepared for all these kind of locations. So I will try to do some of the locations from the new stand.
Yes, I was hoping you'd say that.
All right, in Vancouver,
we gotta watch it again.
Yeah. So I did. Yeah, because when I was there in December, I didn't really have time to do any locations. Just a few. So I need to kind of get back on track, and while I'm spending time there. Hopefully her show will still go on, but but LA wise, I'm working on stuff like Mrs. Davis, which is a show I pretty much liked. I'm doing a Madonna video location for Hung Up. I don't know why I did not do that. So it was shot in
the
London.
Dance club
and London and Los Angeles. So in LA, there's about two scenes that they shot in front of a house where the kids are dancing and then go driving around. So
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, why haven't I visited this location, or why is nobody else? So I have a friend in London. I told him to go visit the London locations for me, and so I can make a page together. So
that's so cool.
So those are some of the things that I'm working on.
That's exciting.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we're excited to take a look.
Fingers crossed. And we also had another anniversary, of course, for the big bus.
Yes, the nuclear powered big bus.
Yes. Such a
Sally Kellerman?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ruth Gordon was also in that.
Yeah, you like the big bus. We've talked about that before.
The big movie bus. Summer months are fun because there were so many movies released in summer, so there's a lot of anniversary stuff happening at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, and you also posted, I think it was it Jurassic? No. Yeah, Jurassic World was today, right?
Yeah, or a couple days
Fallen
ago.
Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom, yeah.
Fallen franchise, which
my sister and I were talking about, like, I don't revisit it. And she goes, I feel like I want to like it. And then it's just like, no, it's, And the thing is, that's still not the worst of the new trilogy.
I know. I will
still,
go to.
It's still the Lost World of the.
I will watch Fallen Kingdom before I ever watch. I'll never watch Dominion again. I did go on a during the 30th anniversary of Jurassic Park the other week. I did rewatch them all, but I didn't touch Dominion. I just went on a binge that weekend, and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
Someday, maybe, but no.
No, they. I don't think they will age better than they initially were. So, and then this week for delayed Father's Day, we'll take our family to go see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
The Dial of Destiny. Are you excited?
We'll see.
See, I'm excited to see. I've bunched the movies together for a little family gathering next week.
Yeah.
Dial Destiny, and I want to see The Flash. I'm really excited for The Flash.
I've heard mixed about our better
mixed,
but verging more on positive for that at the very least.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think mostly because of Michael Keaton. But
that's it. So, that's all you hear. It's like,
yeah,
Michael
Keaton's in
it. You're like, okay.
But Ezra, I mean,
yeah. Hey, he got his kicks in the stand.
Perfectly cast in the stand. Everybody's playing themselves.
My life. The stand really was perfectly cast with how crazy they were off screen. Amber Heard, like Ezra Miller, come on.
Yeah.
You couldn't make that fodder up for last year. It was amazing.
And I remember during the time, because we were more or less reviewing it live every week, I was like, she's actually really good. Like, she's.
Yeah.
She's a better actress than I thought. And I realized, oh, she wasn't acting.
Yeah, no acting.
She was transposing Johnny Depp on everybody else. Yeah.
I will ask the listeners, if you're curious, we do have YouTube videos up of our stand reactions. We've covered every episode of the 2020 stand as they were released. And there's it's pretty funny. We were asking when the Trash Can Man was coming, though, a lot. Because he didn't show up till like episode 7.
Yeah, it was kind of
a big deal.
Weird that he was gone, because he's a pivotal person.
Yeah, yeah. It's because they can only afford Ezra for like that day.
Speaking of Stephen King anniversaries, I saw today is the 10th anniversary for the premiere of Under the Dome.
Oh, really?
Somebody went and did locations.
Are they good?
Good for them.
Are they? I could never finish that. I always tried to reboot it, and I can't. I get through two episodes, maybe one, and I'm like, I can't.
I cannot. Ever since the barricade scene, which is one of my favorite moments, that we're like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, move a chair. Like, drive on the sidewalk. It's too easy. Yeah. I was like, I can't do this.
Under the Dome, you really wanted to see it done well, and they just it didn't.
Yeah, so but I am curious. So Needful Things is going to be having a special release on Blu-ray, and they're going to release the extended cut. So it'll be interesting because, you know, it's I'm sure you're not going to find it's not going to be a completely different movie. It's kind of like the Superman 2 Donner cut. It's not, you still have what you have. But I'm curious to see kind of a more fleshed out version.
I'd be curious to see that too, especially if there's, you know, unreleased footage, deleted scenes. Like, that'd be kind of cool.
It also
had the right amount of creepy in there.
Yeah, and they should. It does make me sad that Castle Rock got canceled, because I'm like, there's so much that they could have. Maybe it'll come back again someday. I don't know.
Why did they cancel that? Was it just bad ratings?
I think it was bad ratings, and it might be doing better now in 2023 than it would have done back then. I don't know, but so I think there's still hope, and I think speaking of Hannibal, I know Mads Mikkelsen and Brian Fuller just had taken a picture together, and they said, you never know, there could still be hope for another Hannibal, despite how it ended.
Hey, you can always retcon things and bring it back.
The last one, bring Gillian Anderson back.
Yeah.
There's
so much you can do.
Yeah. Hey, Cordell.
Cordell. Just push him in. You can always blame it on me. Cordell. Cordell.
Mason Verger, both all the actors, now it's like three actors that actually played, all had the same affectation as they did from Hannibal the movie, which I'm good for them.
Good for them. Yeah. I still can't help. I mean, Hannibal, the movie, is so unintentionally funny with some of the lines where Anthony Hopkins is meant to be coy. And he's like,
yeah,
you saw him in the flesh, face to face, so to speak. Attractive, isn't he? It's just very, like English dry wit. It's just so funny. Attractive, isn't he?
I loved Hannibal. So you yeah, swear too.
You swear to. Wait, so what did he say?
Julianne Moore, with Ray Liotta, it's like they're arguing, whatever, and she's like, "You better tell you, you swear too," and she's like, she's trying to do her accent as well. So I thought she was a good Clarice.
Yeah, no, me too. This is gonna hurt. That is a good movie. It's beautifully shot too. It really is.
Yeah.
All right, but that'll be our show tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Robert, thank you always for taking the time, sir.
Always good to see you.
Always good to see you as well. And thank you, everybody, for checking out the latest episode of Set Jetter Saturdays. And we will see you on the set. Told you so, told you so. Why can't you be like the other girl? I said, oh, no, that's not me. And I don't think that it'll ever be. Thought I belonged to a different tribe. Walking alone. Satisfied, tried to fit in, but it wasn't me. I said, oh no, I want more. That's not what I'm looking for. So I took the my rebel heart.